where we are and how we got here. We looked at 1 John, where the Bible says he not only forgives the sin, but he cleanses the unrighteousness and atonement for sin and the purging, how those are two separate works, the purging of the conscience and even the consciousness of sin. And we looked at how, you know, if your heart condemns you, God's bigger than your heart. But if your heart doesn't condemn you, then we have confidence towards God. And that, of course, is what he wants us to have towards him. Then from there, we went down a little bit of a side journey where Jesus is clear about it, that if he makes you a son of God, you'll abide in Father's house forever, as opposed to the slave that we once were does not abide in Father's house, much less forever. Then we went to what the scriptures, Paul talking about, in a great house there are many vessels. And those vessels would be some for honor and some for dishonor. But he said if anyone was willing to purge, and that's back to that purging and cleansing and the conscience and the mind, and even our actions, that the vessel can be a vessel for honor. And it's not that God has said, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the twos and threes are vessels of honor, all the ones and fours, sorry. No. We all have different talents and gifts and abilities, places in Father's house, if you will. But we can be that vessel for honor that God created and intended for us to be, praise God. Now, we from there went to an example of what it looks like to clean house, and the Lord led us to Hezekiah. And this will be our third and perhaps our final study from the life of Hezekiah. But we see that there are some important parallels for us as individuals, for our own lives and families, for the house of God, and then also for the nation. In other words, there are some things maybe that the Lord would speak to us that we need to clean up and get the rubbish out. Remember, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we see that some rubbish had worked its way into the temple, and Hezekiah says, get it out, you know. And in the same way, things can enter into people's lives, their homes, and then even on a national level, a government or a nation. And so we looked at last week the difference between Ahaz's policies as a leader of a nation versus his son Hezekiah's policies. And we said that the policies are important. Don't get caught up in the person, the personality, the politics. Those are the things that the enemy likes to manipulate. And it's sad in our country, but person and personality have become more important to the electorate in some cases. Thank God we're seeing a change of that, I believe, than the actual policies of the person. And what we pointed out was that Hezekiah's policies were not perfect, but he was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. And what we have to come to terms with, again, in our own lives, personally, there are things that are right in the sight of the Lord, and there are things that are not. Amen. And Satan is constantly trying to blur the line between what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. But we know this because of what the Word of God says. And even though Hezekiah's policies were not perfect, and we'll go back through all that, he was moving the people in a direction towards God. He was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. Because remember, Ahaz's policies had caused the people to turn their face from the house of God. And when they turned their face from the house of God, they turned away from God. And it wasn't long until they were headed in the wrong direction. Hezekiah now has policies where he's trying to implement things that will, you know, give people opportunities to turn their face back towards the house of God. For instance, celebrating the feast of the Passover. But that was his policy. But remember, they missed the deadline. Amen. But he did it anyway. He did it anyway, and God honored it. And so we see that as all this is happening, things are changing in the nation, and the policies are charting a new course for the nation. People's hearts are turning. But there's also the critics, the people who are being judgmental and harsh and refusing to participate, refusing to listen, refusing to fall in. And that's going to be that way till Jesus comes back. I mean, Jesus is going to come separate the sheep from the goats. So we know that there's going to be that element. But in this final chapter of Hezekiah and what God was doing in his life and how he cleaned house and changed the policies and changed the course of a nation and brought honor back to God's people, brought prosperity back to God's people, we see that he dealt with the king of Assyria, and this man's name was Sennacherib. Sennacherib, okay, not snack on a rib, but Sennacherib, okay. You knew I was going to say it, didn't you? All right. And interestingly enough, Sennacherib was named after the moon god. Sin was the moon god. And Sennacherib was named after him. Now, if it seems like some of these comparisons I'm stretching to fit, amen, you just hang in here with me, amen, and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And if it doesn't seem applicable to you, then you can just leave it laying, all right? But I believe that's one of the first things that we need to look at is the fact that Sennacherib worshipped the moon god, worshipped the creation, and the scriptures speak of in the last days people will be more respectful and worshipful towards the creation while excluding or ignoring the creator, okay? So let's kind of jump in here, verse number one, and we'll work our way through. After these deeds of faithfulness, so Hezekiah is humming along, things are going well, lots of changes, lots of revival, lots of prosperity. God is pleased, he's doing right in the sight of the Lord, and as you would know, Satan's going to try, amen? And so after these deeds of faithfulness, because Satan's always trying to do what? He's always trying to interrupt our faith and our faithfulness. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself. So I highlighted some things here. Thinking to win them over to himself, we see that there's always this power struggle. Always this power struggle. Are we going to listen to God? Are we going to listen to the devil? Are we going to follow what's right? Are we going to follow what's wrong? And Satan's always trying to win people over to himself. And then, of course, we see in these great political battles, did you see where they spent tens of millions of dollars in Florida over these special elections? I think the Democrat Party spent over $2 billion, some people say $2.7 billion on this last presidential election to try to get their candidate elected. My friend, please know that Satan is thinking he can win us over to himself, and he never stops trying. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, notice that phrase, his purpose was to make war. I highlighted that. This is one of the things that I think the body of Christ has been a little slow in coming to terms with, and that is there are very real forces of evil and darkness in our world that are wanting to make war against Jerusalem. Yes, we saw that like we've never seen, at least in my lifetime. Was it October, 2 years ago? October, how long ago was it with the attack on Israel in October? 23. But you know, the same forces of evil and darkness are wanting to destroy this country. And we sometimes, and maybe it's just me, okay? That's why I say we. I tend to be tender towards people. I tend to give people the benefit of the doubt. I tend to think that people are just misguided, but they mean well and so forth and so on. But what we're discovering and what Hezekiah was alerted to very quickly by the Spirit of the Lord is that this man does not mean to do us well. He's a snake in the grass, so to speak, and he's here to try to bring destruction. And there are people in some of the highest elected offices, in the highest appointed positions, Supreme Court and otherwise. Again, you say I'm a conspiracy theorist or whatever. I'm telling you, I know this by experience. I know this by the Spirit of the Lord. They are in those positions to make war against this nation and the prosperity of this nation. And there's nothing that they would want to see more than to tear this country down. Amen or oh me on that. Okay. So verse 3, he consulted with his leaders and commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. Thus many people gathered together who stopped all the springs and the brook that ran through the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Now, we see that the attack came after the deeds of faithfulness. We see that he came thinking to win them over to himself. Sennacherib thought he could win them over to himself. Hezekiah saw that the purpose was to make war. And notice one of the first things that he did is he stopped the water. He stopped the water from flowing out to water the enemies that had surrounded and come against Jerusalem. This is what I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is showing me in the parallel here, is what we're seeing with Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency. I'm sure some of you, you know, saw where, you know, we like $50 million worth of condoms to foreign countries, where we're trying to not only things that are not right in the sight of the Lord here, but we're trying to take taxpayer money and, finance those same things in other countries that don't want that garbage in their country, and we shouldn't want it in ours. And so notice how is the simplest way to stop that? Shut off not the flow of water, but the flow of money. You shut it off. So they, in other words, the Lord gave Sennacherib, you know, this understanding, which seems like it would be pretty basic, but it's like, hey, they've surrounded us to try to destroy us, but if we're not going to let them drink our water and quench their thirst and remain healthy enough to ultimately overthrow us. So notice though that it wasn't just that Sennacherib did this. I highlighted the phrase, thus many people gathered together who stopped all the springs and the brooks and the brook that ran through the land. So it's not enough then for the government to stop funding these things. We as the body of Christ need to stop spending our money on these things. We need to stop funding these things. And I'll tell you one of the areas that we've seen a tremendous change in our country, and I think it's connected to this, is the wholesome family, even faith-based Christ-centered movies that are now being produced. And here's the amazing thing. There may be an exception, but I do not know of one that hasn't been wildly profitable. My sister-in-law, brother-in-law, Nancy and Clay Irwin, they are cousins to the Irwin brothers, who've made some amazing, movies that have been at the same time very profitable because they've catered to family values and to things that are wholesome, and people have supported that. And the money, in other words, how do I say this? If the church had just stopped funding that stuff, it would go a long way towards cutting the head off of it, okay? And just along that lines about to make war, remember there were people on planet Earth who wanted to murder Jesus for healing a man on the wrong day. And those spirits that influenced those men are still present on the earth and are influencing people in leadership today. All right, let's keep going. Verse number 5. And he strengthened himself, built up all the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, and built another wall outside. Also, he repaired the Millo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance. Then he set military captains over the people, gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate, and gave them encouragement, saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. All right. Let's see. A leader who built a wall to secure the borders and increased defense spending and preparedness. You can't make this stuff up. This is exactly And so we see what is right in the sight of the Lord. And I know that the argument here is that God is for all people. First of all, God is for law and order. He's for law and order. And there is a right way and a wrong way for people to come be a part of this country. Amen. I'm preaching to the choir and I don't have to go through all those things. But with no border walls to protect this country, the country is vulnerable, and we've seen that. We've seen the threats that have come into this country and what is going on within this country. Now, the other thing is that we see policies not only set the direction, but policies either lift people's spirits or deflate people's spirits. And this is what we're seeing in our country today, and I believe with Hezekiah, the fact that he was focused on national security, the fact that he was focused, still remember what the Bible says, the horse is prepared for battle, but our trust is in the Lord. Amen. He tells us to get ready for battle, but not to put our trust in the armament, in the weaponry, but in him. But still, we do both at the same time. And then he pointed out, of course, that the arm of the flesh, but the Lord our God is with us, because what is he? He's doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. So he built the wall, secured the borders, increased defense spending and preparedness. How about this? Constant communication with the people. People want to hear from their leader. Y'all getting quiet up on me up in here. People want to hear from their leader. We want to hear what's going on. We want to know. This is important, right? The leader of a country. And of course, we have a leader now. You may not like what he says or how he's saying it, but buddy, he's not afraid to talk and to communicate and to tell people what he's going to do and then do what he says he's going to do and follow up on it and answer the hard questions if there's mistakes made. Again, all of this is, I think, wildly encouraging to us in our nation in the same way that it was to the people in there. We could say transparency. That's another word I think that fits here, the constant communication, the transparency. The people were encouraged by this. And of course, we know that God is with those who strive to do what is right in his sight. Now, verse number 9. After this, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem, but he and all the forces with him laid siege against Lachish. To Hezekiah, king of Judah, and to all Judah who were in Jerusalem, saying, now let me stop here because before I go any further, we're making a transition. So before I go any further, I want to point out what we're seeing in verse number 9. Jerusalem is the capital city, right? So notice where he sent his servants to the capital city, right? And we've heard it said over and over again, this is why God instructs us as his people to pray for those who have the rule over us. When people go to Washington, D.C., they have a tendency to lose their minds. And I believe it's because of the demonic strongholds that are entrenched there, because whether the church understands it or not, the powers of darkness certainly understand that if they can manipulate the decisions that are made in Washington, D.C., in the capital city, they can influence what goes on in large ways in the rest of the nation. So we see the same strategy here. Sennacherib sends some of his main people into Jerusalem, right? Now, you think they're there like, hey, we're the enemy, we're about to kill you. No, they're in there stirring things up and trying to undermine and offer different opinions, and so they're fixing to deliver some of these different opinions. So they were in Jerusalem saying, verse 10, thus says Sennacherib. So this is from, Sennacherib is going to be speaking here, just so you'll know and follow along with me. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, in what do you trust that you remain under siege in Jerusalem? So, anybody want to look at a dollar bill, or do you have to be reminded not in what do we trust, but in God we trust. In God we trust. In God we trust. Amen. But notice now the enemy is challenging that. And he's saying, in what do you trust? Because whatever you're trusting in, We're still here, and we're still going to overthrow you, and we're still going to make you our slaves. We're still going to control this. So this is the propaganda, if you will. This is the war of words. Thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, "In what do you trust that you remain under siege in Jerusalem? Does not Hezekiah persuade you to give yourselves over to die by famine and by thirst, saying, 'The Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria'? Has not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, 'You shall worship before one altar and burn incense on it'"? Now, notice there's a lot of things going on here. First of all, Sennacherib is trying to undermine Hezekiah's effectiveness, right, by confusing the people. And Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, had set up all of these places of worship, taking them out of the temple, the place where God's people are supposed to worship. If you remember, he had abandoned the temple, turned the people's faces away from the temple. When he turned their faces away from the temple, it was only a matter of time before they turned their lives away from God, right? But he set up all these other altars, if you will, to burn incense on, but not to Jehovah, not to the true and living God. But remember, it was to Baal. Hezekiah's father even burned some of his children, which would have been some of Hezekiah's brothers and sisters, in human sacrifice to Baal. And then other gods, same gods as the Assyrians worship. Because remember, he said, Ahaz said, "Well, you know what? Jehovah's not working for me, so I'm going to try their gods." Well, that didn't work for him either. Amen. And so now the people, though, see, they're still trying to sort through all this. You go through a generation of not worshiping Jehovah God in the temple, and a whole bunch of people who are raised on worshiping out in the streets and altars everywhere where you burn incense and so forth. Are you following what I'm saying? So the people are confused, and Sennacherib's trying to play on that. But don't be confused, because the people, Hezekiah wasn't intending that they actually, notice it says his high places. See that in verse number 12? God, they're not Jehovah's high places. But this is the confusion he's trying. You shall worship before one altar and burn incense on it. So let me see if I can, again, I believe the Holy Spirit, you judge at home. Amen. How does this apply to us? What's going on here? Well, he's trying to stir up confusion and fear. And like, for instance, when you hear people get on TV and say, "Elon Musk is doing away with Social Security." He is absolutely not doing away with Social Security. That is not what he's trying to do. But notice now, do you see the parallel between what Sennacherib is doing? Sennacherib is like, "Yeah, your king thinks he's a big shot. He's done took all these altars down. Now y'all's God's going to be mad at you because he's not..." It's not what's going on here. What's going on here is he's doing it what's right in the sight of the Lord. There's one place we're supposed to worship, and we're going to do what's right, and we're going to worship in the place that God said for us to worship, and we're not going to do all... But see, it's the misinformation, and it's trying to confuse the people, but more than anything, he's trying to scare the people. What is he saying? Let me see if I can say it this way, and you can make the parallel maybe a little easier. These reforms are going to be the ruin of this nation. All these changes, doing away with this department, cutting back on this, changing this, working this, tariffs, all this is going to ruin the nation. It's going to crash the economy. It's going to destroy. You're not going to be able to get a job. You're not going to be able to get a job. See, again, that's the same devil telling the same lies, and the same, it's different situation, but it's identical, if you will. So there's a lot here. The enemy is saying this house cleaning will be the end of you all. The reforms Hezekiah is making are a big mistake. They'll be the ruin of your economy and will only lead to your deaths by starvation. Okay, I mean, that's how far he went with this. Amen. Am I boring y'all? I don't want to bore y'all. Amen. I see some of these things and I'm like, "Lord, you know, is this just for me and you to talk about?" But I really felt like I needed to share this with you. So anyway, let me push on ahead. The enemy is trying to use fear to manipulate. He did it with Sennacherib, and it's his go-to. It's how he operates. Hezekiah cleaned house, and in the process, he removed long-established institutions